الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we continue gathering in a house from the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathering together with the purpose of seeking an understanding in the religion and striving to learn about the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the obligations that He has obligated and made mandatory upon His servants and slaves subhanahu wa ta'ala and learn likewise and understand clearly that which He has recommended and prefers from creed and speech and action and deed, gathering together to learn that which is impermissible and detestable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn about that which is haram and forbidden and prohibited, and likewise to learn and understand clearly that which is disliked and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with. Likewise from statement and action and creed and deed, in order to traverse in this life upon clarity and to be upon insight with regards to one's life and one's religion, with regards to one's deen, لِيَكُونَ الْمُؤْمِنُ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ لِيَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى كَمَا أَمَرَ, in order to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla as He has commanded. This all requires knowledge. And knowledge, it is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's from His provision. But just as the rest of the provision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not obtained except by taking the means, except by making effort to obtain that provision, likewise Allah has legislated means to obtain knowledge. And from the greatest means to obtain knowledge is to sit in the gatherings of knowledge in the masajid. And again, this is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. And we thank Him, we praise Him. We thank Him subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great blessing, the blessing of Al-Islam and the blessing of As-Sunnah, and the blessing of knowledge and understanding in the religion, and the blessing of gathering in a house from the houses of Allah, which is established upon that which is pleasing to Allah, insha'Allah ta'ala, and a house from the houses of the people of the Sunnah. Alhamdulillah. And this is a great sign that Allah, He wants good for us. And that's what we hope from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has been reported authentically on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, that whoever Allah wants good for, He will grant him understanding in the religion, understanding of the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, التوحيد, الَّذِي هُوَ حَقُّ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْعَبِيدِ, the right to be worshipped alone with no partners, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will be singled out with love and hope and fear and with humbleness and servitude and obedience. He will be singled out alone with no partners whatsoever and seeking help and aid and reliance and trust and supplication and calling on Him and invoking Him in every action and every situation and every circumstance, in public and in private. He is the true God, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is worthy of worship. Learning about His tawheed and His beautiful names and attributes, and that He alone, He possesses the attributes of perfection, no deficiency whatsoever, not in His life and not in His knowledge, not His power, not His wisdom, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, He's worthy of worship, alone with no partners. And understanding that worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has legislated, it has rulings and regulations, it has a manner in which it is performed properly. And for this reason, He subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has sent messengers and prophets throughout time. And the seal of all messengers and prophets is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and His way is the only way that leads to the Jannah. And His way is the only way that leads to the paradise. And His way has been clarified and has been transmitted to us in his narrations and in his sunnah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from the great signs of success for a believer is that he has diligence and concern and care and love for the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He loves to sit in the gatherings and listen to the narrations of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it's related to tahara, or if it's related to salah, or if it's related to aqidah, or the hereafter, or whatever the affairs may be, whether it's buying and selling and trading. All of the narrations that have come, a believer, he loves to hear them and to learn about them and understand them and to increase in knowledge with regards to them, to be upon clarity in this life. This is a sign that Allah, he wants good for somebody. This is a sign that Allah, he wants good for somebody. And this is something that is highly encouraged and a great obligation, the obligation of learning and seeking knowledge. It's been reported likewise on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ, that seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. Seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. Every Muslim, male and female, every single Muslim, it's an obligation for him to learn his religion. It's an obligation for him to learn his religion, to learn the knowledge that is incumbent for his religion to be correct, and for his deen to be upright, and for his creed to be proper, and accordance to the creed and the belief of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, and in order for his obligations, and from the pillars of that Islam to be established accordingly, according to that which is revealed, according to that which is revealed in the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, that he revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not according to customs and desires and to opinions and the positions of the people, but rather according to that which was revealed. According to that which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who believe in Allah and the last day, they strive to fulfill the obligations of Allah properly upon clarity. And this requires knowledge and effort. And again, from the greatest means to obtain that knowledge is to gather in the masajid and to sit in the lessons where the sunnah is being taught and where the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're being recited and studied and clarified. And this is a great favor and blessing up from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is in reality the path to paradise. And it has been narrated authentically likewise from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقٌ يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ, that whoever sets out on a path seeking knowledge, I mean legislative knowledge of the hereafter, knowledge of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowledge of the halal and the haram, knowledge of that which is permissible and impermissible, knowledge of the sirat al-mustaqim, and the manner and methodology to traverse upon that path safely. This is the knowledge that is beloved to Allah. And whoever sets out on a path seeking it, then Allah will make easy for him by way of that knowledge, a path to paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِنْ بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةُ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةُ وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَذَكَرُهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ, that there is no group of people that gather in a house from the houses of Allah, and they are reciting the book of Allah, and they're studying it amongst themselves, يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ, يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ, reciting the book of Allah, أَتِلَاوَ حَقَّ تِلَاوَ, to learn it, to memorize the Qur'an, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to recite them, to learn its mode of recitation. This is called atilawa. But likewise, atilawa, haqqa tilawa, the true recitation is to also learn the meanings, to learn the meanings of that which is recited. And this is the point. And to learn how to recite it, this is a means. And the goal and the aim is to learn how to understand it and to apply it. And the one who recites it, but he does not apply it, he's not truly considered reciting the Qur'an. The Qur'an is a recitation, the most beautiful and best of all recitations. But the true recitation, التلاوة حق تلاوته, is to recite it and to contemplate on it and to understand it and to follow it and abide by it. So therefore, learning the mode of recitation is very important, but this is the means. And the goal and the aim is to understand, and for that recitation to enter the heart and to become a part of the life of a believer until he moves according to the commandments of the Qur'an, and he stops according to the prohibitions of the Qur'an. And wherever the Qur'an goes, this is where he goes, and wherever it stops, this is where he stops. And in order to do that, one, he also must understand the Qur'an and the proper interpretation, and this is from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many commandments in the Book of Allah are there for establishing the Salah? How many commandments are there in the Book of Allah for establishing the Salah? And all of these commandments, they're general. They're general. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. And how many times has Allah praised those people who established the prayer? Likewise. وَمُقِيمِينَ الصَّلَاةِ. And He praising them in a number of places, mentioning the beautiful traits of those whom He's pleased with, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He'll mention from that the prayer. But the details of how to perform that prayer, this has come in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, in order to truly follow the Qur'an, one, he has to learn the sunnah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has to have diligence to learn this affair. Because the sunnah, it is, as the people of Allah, as they mentioned, شَرِحَةٌ لِلْقُرْآنِ وَمُفَسِّرَةٌ لَهُ. That it is an explanation of the Qur'an, and it interprets that which is in the Qur'an. And that which is mentioned in the Qur'an in general has come in detail. And detailed clarification in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, to gather upon a book from the books of the people of knowledge who have collected authentic narrations from the narrations of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order to learn and to understand how to apply the Quran, this is from the great blessings and bounties of Allah azza wa jal, and a sign that Allah was good for them, and that they are those people who are on a path to paradise bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. And the Messenger, he mentioned those people in this manner, there is none of them that gather in a house from the houses of Allah, reciting the book of Allah, and he reciting the words of the Quran, and likewise striving to learn that and understand that. It also requires that one, he will recite and read the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all of this is included in tilawatul Quran, and in the recitation of the Quran, and he's studying the Quran. It requires one to study the hadith, and to study fiqh, to study tafsir, and the likes like this. All of this is from studying the Qur'an. So those who gather in a house from the houses of Allah in this manner, reciting the Book of Allah and studying it amongst themselves, then these are those whom Allah would descend His mercy upon them, and He would engulf them in tranquility. And likewise, the angels, they will surround them. They will surround them. And He is protecting them, and also in honor for them, and in love for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will praise them. And we hope that these gatherings are from those gatherings. The gatherings that are gatherings of mercy. And gatherings that are gatherings of sakina and tranquility and peace. And a means for the increase in faith and the firmness of iman. And a means to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they will be heavy with Him on our scales on the day that we meet Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah azza wa jal from His grace and His mercy to give us steadfastness in His religion, and to give us steadfastness upon His obedience until we meet Him and He's pleased with us. And we ask Him from His favor and from his bounty. Innahu jawadun kareem. In our previous class, we had begun Babu Salat al-Jumu'ah. Babu Salati al-Jumu'ah. The chapter with regards to Salat al-Jumu'ah. We had taken a few benefits with regards to this affair from them, some linguistic benefits related to the word al-jumu'ah. And we have seen that there are thalathu lughat fi hadhihi al-karima. Thalathu lughat. There are three ways to pronounce this word, al-jumu'ah. Al-jumu'ah. Who can remind us of them? Al-jumu'ah, the first one. Inshallah, that's the freebie, huh? Al-jumu'ah, na'am, bi-dham al-mim, with the dhamma on the mim. Al-jumu'ah, on the dhamma on the jim and the mim, na'am. Wal-jum'ah, bi-iskan al-mim, with the sukoon on the mim. Al-jum'ah. These are the two well-known readings of this word. And there was a third one, which is much lesser, unknown or not as well-known. Huh? بالفتحة on the meme, أحسنت بفتح الميم الجمعة الجمعة تو الجمعة تو نعم. Well, we mentioned the people of knowledge, they say that the most or the best one or the most famous is الجمعة, and from that which indicated that was an evidence, there was an evidence that indicated that this wording here is most proper and most famous, likewise and well known. الجمعة بالضم الميم. Not with narrations. The ayah in Surah Al-Jumu'ah. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. What was it? إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ. Sign in the verse. What about the verse? Okay. Sahih. Abdus-Salam.
All seven
reciters, they have it agreed upon this. All seven reciters from those who have narrated, that the Quran has been narrated to us with tawatur, all of them have recited in this manner. And in a number of times you will find there will be slight differences in the different qira'at. There will be slight differences in the different qira'at sometimes, yani in the pronunciation of the words. Sometimes you might see, for example, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُتْرَكَ سُودًا. Another reading, أَيَحْسِبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُتْرَكَ سُودًا. So sometimes it's authentic. أَنْ يَحْسَبُ وَأَنْ يَحْسِبُ. So this is two different readings of the same word. The same word, the haraka changed here. يَحْسِبُ وَيَحْسَبُ. So it comes like this, and this is an example of that. So sometimes the qira'at, they'll differ in this manner. But as for this word al-jumu'ah, they're all the same. They have all agreed about this, that the way to read it in the Qur'an and all of the modes, the seven modes of recitation, is to say al-jumu'ah. Al-jumu'ah. We also seen in our previous class that the jumu'ah was an obligation. The jumu'ah was an obligation upon the males who are of the age of puberty, and likewise those who are residents. The males who are residents and of the age of puberty, it's an obligation for them to attend the Jumu'ah. And there were a number of evidences that we mentioned with regards to that. Who can remind us of some of them? Ahsant. Ahsanta. Wajh al-istidlal? Wajh al-istidlal?
Wajh
al-istidlal? Al-istidlal. Al-Haya, it's a, yani Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah Azza wa Jalla in this verse, he says, Fas'aw ila dhikrillah. So this is the point here. Idha nudiya li salati min yawm al-jum'ah. If the call is made for the prayer on the day of Jumu'ati, Fas'aw ila dhikrillah. Fas'aw. Fas'aw is fil amr, is a command. Wadhru al-bay, even more to emphasize. But Fas'aw is a commandment. Is a commandment to hasten to the prayer. To hasten to the prayer, to make effort and strive. Min as-sa'i. As-sa'i is to make effort, to strive to perform something, and to hasten to go there. So here's a command. And the origin with the command is that it's an obligation. Fas'aw ila dhikrillah. Hasten. It's a commandment. So therefore it's an obligation. Also, there were some narrations that also emphasize this affair. You can remember one of them, or two of them. There was one that was very important. Naam. The narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he threatened the one who left off three Jumu'ah, that Allah will seal his heart. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَن تَرَكَ ثَلَاثَ جُمُعًا تَهَاوُنًا تَهَاوُنًا طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَى قَلْبِهِ, that whoever left off three Jumu'ah out of negligence, then Allah will seal his heart. So a threat like this doesn't come except for with regards to an obligation, and to leaving an obligation. So therefore, to attend the Jumu'ah is an obligation. As for the one who left off three, ثَلَاثَ جُمُعٍ تَهَابُنًا طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَى قَلْبِهِ, the one who left off three Jumu'ah out of heedlessness, then Allah Azza wa Jal, He will seal his heart. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. There is a benefit to mention here. We mentioned previously the obligation of that, and that a person, he must come to the Jumu'ah even if he lives a distance away. And even if he lives a distance away, so long as he lives in the town where the Jumu'ah is established, he must come to it. If he lives in the town and in the city where the Jumu'ah is established, he must come to it, even if it's a distance from his home. Even if it's far from his home, he doesn't hear the adhan, or he would never hear the adhan. It's further than that. And if the Jumu'ah is related to hearing the adhan, and likewise to the balid, likewise to the land. If you live in the land where the Jumu'ah is established, you have to come. And we mentioned previously likewise about the danger of leaving off the Jumu'ah. And that having a job in America is not an excuse. Having a job in America is not an excuse. A believer, he has to establish that with his job. With his occupation. He has to inform the people that I'm a Muslim, and I need this day off for my religious services, and the likes like this. And many times, you will find that they will cooperate with that. And if they find that you are sincere, then they would help you in that. Even before that, if a person, he was going to begin a new job, for example, then one of the first things he might have to establish, not necessarily, but it may be a good idea according to the circumstances to inform them that one is a Muslim, so that they know that. If a person, for example, is going to be at work while the prayer comes in, and he's going to be required to pray while he's at work, and he's going to need that time free to pray while he's at work, and the only way he can do that is by informing the people. The only way he can do that is by informing the people. So he just have to inform them. He will just have to inform them. He will fear Allah Azza wa Jal, and he will seek the help of Allah, and he will tell them. And that, you know, I'm going to be at work all day long, and I'm not going to get off until this prayer is finished, so I'll have to pray. It takes me five minutes. I mentioned before a brother who was in this same situation, and he was working construction and the likes like this. And he told the boss, and he told the people, and he stopped, you need to pray. We'll run and go pray dhuhr and come back. Pretty soon, after some time, the workers along with him, they realized that he does this out of sincerity. This is his religion. They began reminding him, it's time for you to go pray. They began reminding him, it's time for you to go pray. And they see that maybe in the beginning somebody might think, oh, he's one of those jokers. He wants to play games, he wants to be lazy, he wants to get away from work. But if he sees, for example, a Muslim who is sincere and truthful with Allah, first and foremost, he'll be an honest worker, he'll be a good worker, he'll be a diligent worker, he'll be an on-time worker, he'll fulfill the rights of his obligation. If you put him in harasa, then he's in harasa. And if you put him in the saq, he's in the saq. Wherever he's at, he does his job for the sake of Allah. If he's mopping the floors, he mops the floors for the sake of Allah. If he's a cashier, he's a cashier for the sake of Allah. If he's doing electricity, he's doing electricity. Yani he does it accordingly. He fulfills his obligation that is upon him because he knows Allah is watching him. So therefore, he does it for the sake of Allah. Whatever he does, he gets his money and he fulfills his obligations according to the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he will work good. Whenever the people, they see he's a good worker, they know that he's beneficial. The fact that a person comes on time every day, the fact that a person, he'll come on time every day, yani is a great benefit for those who are in administration, because many times the people, they don't come on time every day. So the fact that a believer, he works, he has a job that is lawful, alhamdulillah, and then he works honestly, and then on top of that, he tells them, "Why I gotta go to Jumu'ah though?" They're gonna work with you, because all the other times, all of the other hours, you come on time, you leave on time, you fulfill your requirement. If you fall short of something, you notify them. Like this, you're an honest worker. That's what they're looking for. That's what they're looking for. So don't be afraid. Be afraid of Allah Azza wa Jal. Tell them, I've got to stop from my prayer. What you will find, inshallah, Allah will help you. Allah will help you. Until the extent that some of the disbelievers, they will help you. That Allah will place them at your service as a favor. Wallahi, they used to remind that brother. They used to remind him that it's time for you to go pray. That he'll be working with them and working with them. And then they will remind him, no, it's time for you. It's a good time. You should go pray now. And whenever they see that it's a deen, and they see that it's a way of life, they will respect that. They will respect that. And by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So likewise, a Jumu'ah. A believer, he should strive to establish that. He will supplicate. If he found himself in a situation where they're not letting him, then he will try his best to speak with them, to talk with him. Even if he's not able to get off every Jumu'ah, at least to begin establishing every other Jumu'ah, for example, to where he doesn't miss three in a row. To where he doesn't miss three in a row, because this now becomes very dangerous. Missing three in a row, definitely he's going to fall in this narration right here. Definitely he's going to, with no excuse, he's gonna be threatened with this threat. So to avoid that, try to establish every other weekend. Maybe if you have a co-worker with you who can cover you on this weekend or that weekend. Yani just to think about how to establish this great sha'ira min sha'ir al-deen, from this great sacred right, to fulfill that obligation. And then after that, work on a way to get out of that occupation into another one where you can attend every day and make dua and call on Allah Azza wa Jal and be sincere, and inshallah he will make a way out for you. Inshallah he will make a way out for you. But the Jumu'ah is very important to attend, especially to attend the Jumu'ah, likewise with the people of the Sunnah. And not to attend the Jumu'ah in any old masjid. And sometimes a person, he will go to the Jumu'ah and he will leave upset rather than happy. because of the falsehood that he would hear, or the politics that would be mentioned, or the misunderstandings that are presented, and the instead of leaving with clarification, he'll leave with doubts, and the likes like this. And this is the case in many of the masajid in America, waliyadhu billah. So a believer, he will strive to attend the Jumu'ah with the people of the Sunnah, where one can benefit from the Jumu'ah, take a reminder and admonition, and learn and benefit from his religion, and leave with light and an increase in faith, and a heart that is good and sound, alhamdulillah. So to attend the Jumu'ah again is very important, from the great rites of al-Islam, this great day that Allah has favored this ummah with, the day of al-Jumu'ah, the day of al-Jumu'ah. There was one more narration that was mentioned in the previous class about the virtue of al-Jumu'ah. Who remembers that narration? خير يوم طلعت عليه الشمس يوم الجمعة. This is from the beneficial narrations for the students of the Arabic language to memorize. خير يوم طلعت عليه الشمس يوم الجمعة. The best day that the day the sun has risen is the day of الجمعة. The day of الجمعة. نعم. خير يوم طلعت عليه الشمس يوم الجمعة. How many words is that? خير يوم طلعت عليه الشمس يوم الجمعة. معاوية, you memorized it? Let me hear it. خير يوم. In Arabic, you wrote it in Arabic? Okay, alhamdulillah. اللهم بارك. أبو بكر. خير يوم. الشمس يوم أحسنت أحسنت ما شاء الله. So the author, he mentioned the narration of سهل بن سعد الساعدي رضي الله عنه. We've seen some benefits from his tarjama in our previous class. What was his name? And you hear the narration of سهل بن سعد. So his name is سهل, but what was his name? الحزن أو حزن. His name was حزن. What does حزن mean? Hard. Sa'ab. Uh-huh. How did his name become Sahal? What does Sahal mean? What does Sahal? Axe Hazan. What does Sahal mean? Easy. Easy. It means easy. Uh-huh. Why was his name changed? Who changed his name? Today's Yom Muraja, inshallah. We see what. Naam? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed his name. Why? Hazan is a bad name. It has a bad meaning. It means hard. And who likes to deal with somebody that's hard? Somebody, whenever you ask them for something, that's hard to deal with them. If you tell them something, it's hard to deal with them. Every time you say something, they object to you, and they never agree with you. And no matter what you tell them, every time you deal with them, it's just hard. You want to do the smallest thing, and then you ask for the littlest thing, and then it becomes a problem. And if that's that, a person that, like that, it's not good manners. It's not a good way. And it's not from the attributes of the people into paradise. Rather, the attributes of the people into the paradise, they're the opposite of that. They're not like that. They're sahal, hayin, layin, easy to deal with. If you ask them something, sure, no problem. Even if they don't like it, maybe they prefer something else. They don't argue with you all the time. If it's from the mubahat, it's something that is allowed. They don't object to every last thing. And the light side is easy to deal with. If you advise them, it's easy. If you correct them, it's easy. If they teach you, it's easy. Like if you ask for money, it's easy. You make a transaction with them, it's easy. If you have a good idea, it's easy. Like this. So instead of being hazan and being hard, because a person is affected by his name. If you call people names, then it's known that that affects them. If a person is being called bad names, many times it will affect him and he'll become a bad person. It will affect him. If you call him good names, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to like good names. كَانَ يُعْجِبُهُ الْفَهَلْ. He used to like good names out of optimism. Because a person, if he hears good words, it affects his mind. It affects him, and he feels good about that. And then if he hears bad words, it affects him likewise. He feels bad about that. So, and to have a name that is beneficial is beneficial for a person. And have a name that has a good meaning is beneficial for a person. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to change the names if they had bad meanings. From them, Hazan, he's hard. yani hard, hard to deal with, and the likes like this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him Sahal. Why did the Arab used to call their children names like this? Hazan. They used to call him, for example, Harb, and war. His name is war, or they called him Sakhar, rock. he's a rock, and he rock hard, Sakhar, and the like, huh? Ahsanta. Because the Arabs, they used to have the jahiliyyah between them, and they had tribalism really bad, and they had enemies and wars between each other, and fights and feuds. So they would name their children these harsh and hard names and say, these are our boys, therefore our enemies. And they're going to be hard, he's going to be Hazan, he's going to be Sakhar, he's going to be Harb, yana al aduwina, upon our enemies. So that was their thinking in that manner. As for their slaves and servants and freed slaves and the likes like this, what did they call them by? Good names, easy names, nafi', beneficial, like this. They had good names for them. Rabah, like this, they had good names for them. Why? They said as for the mawali, they're for us. As for our sons, they're for our enemies. The mawali, the slaves and the freed slaves and the servants, they're for us. So we call them good names. As for our sons, therefore, our enemies, so they call them bad names. This is from the jahiliyyah that they were upon. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he changed that, and he changed the names to good names. He changed the names to good names, and so instead of Hazan, he said La anta Sahal, whether you're easy. Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi radiyallahu anhu al-Khazraji. He's from the Ansar. He is the last of the companions to die in Medina. He's from the last of the companions, radiyallahu anhum, to die in al-Medina, and he died in approximately the year 91, and he had passed 100 years, and he kana mu'ammaran. So from the last of the companions to die in al-Medina, Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi radiyallahu anhu. He mentioned here that he says ra'aytu rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qama alayhi fakabbara wa kabbara nasu wara'ahu wa huwa 'ala minbar thumma rafa'a fa nazala al-qahqara حتى سجد في أصل المنبر ثم عاد حتى فرغ من آخر صلاته ثم أقبل على الناس فقال أيها الناس إنما صنعت هذا لتأتموا بي ولتعلموا صلاتي وفي لفظ صلى عليها ثم كبر عليها ثم ركع وهو عليها ثم نزل القهقرى. The author, he mentioned the narration of Sahal ibn Sa'd radiyallahu anhu, that he saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qama alayhi fakabbara. Qama alayhi, and in this narration it has some a portion that has preceded this, that he's standing upon it and he made a takbir. He said Allahu Akbar. And the narration the portion of the narration that preceded was some people, they were questioning or asking about the type of wood that the minbar was made from. The type of wood that the minbar was made from. And at this time, wallahu a'lam, Sahal ibn Sa'd, he's in al-Madina, from the most knowledgeable of the companions. As has come, he's the last of those and to live from the companions in al-Madina. So he informed them. He informed them of the type of wood that was from, and then he mentioned this narration. He said, verily, I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making takbir, and he's saying Allahu Akbar for the prayer while he's standing on the minbar. And then the people, they made takbir behind him, and they all said Allahu Akbar after him. Wa huwa ala al-minbar. While the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's on the minbar. And then, then he made ruku' sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thumma rafa'a fa nazala al-qahqara. Then he rose up from the ruku', all of this while he's standing on the minbar. And then he nazala al-qahqara. Al-qahqara is ar-ruju' ila al-khalf. Ar-ruju' ila al-khalf, he backed up. He backed up. And qahqara means to back up without turning your face around. You need to back up behind you, to walk backwards. To walk backwards. Like this. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he backed up in this manner. He backed up in this manner. And he masha ala qafahu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nazala al qahqara. He backed up down the minbar. Hatta sajada fi asli minbar. Until he prostrated at the bottom of the ground. Yani in front of the minbar. Until he prostrated in front of the minbar on the ground. ثم عاد حتى فرغ من آخر صلاته. Then he went back up the minbar sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until he finished his prayer in this manner. until he finished his prayer in this manner. So here the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is standing on the minbar. He made takbir on the minbar, and he recited on the minbar. Then he made ruku' on the minbar. Then he raised from the ruku' and then back down, backwards the steps, and prostrated on the ground. And then stood back up and did it again in this manner, and prayed in this manner. And prayed in this manner, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until he finished the prayer. ثُمَّ أَقْبَلَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. And then he turned around and faced the people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَالَ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. O people, إِنَّمَا صَنَعْتُ هَذَا لِتَتَّمُّ بِهِ. He said, O you people who are in the gathering, he said, verily, I only did that in order for you to follow me. وَلِتَعْلَمُوا صَلَاتِي. And so that you could know my prayer. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed in this manner in order to teach the people so that they could see. And a great gathering again for the believers praying about behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He prayed in this manner, standing on the minbar, so that people can see how he moves. So that people can see that he made ruku' in this manner, that he recited in this manner, he raised his hands in this manner, he said Allahu Akbar in this manner, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he came down and he made sujood. And in order for the people to see him, he's praying here in order for the people to see him, in order to learn the manner of his salat, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the author after this, he mentioned another warning, salla alayha, meaning he made the prayer on top of the minbar. ثم كبر عليها ثم ركع وهو عليها ثم نزل القهقرة. That the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed on it, and then he made the takbir on it, and then he made ruku while he's on the minbar, and then after that he backed down from the minbar in order to make sujood on the ground. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from the benefits of this narration, we see that it's legislated for the believers to have a minbar, yani that the imam, he will have a minbar. Yani he will have a minbar that he will stand on. Yani this is for the Jumu'ah. The imam, he will stand on the minbar. And it's mentioned that the minbar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had three steps. And this is what is befitting and proper. And this is what is best, that it should only have three steps. And that the imam, he will stand on that. He will stand on that, and he will give the khutbah from there. And we see also that moving in the prayer in this manner for the benefit of the prayer and for the benefit of teaching and the likes, like this, is allowed, and it doesn't harm the prayer. Here we have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam backing down two steps, three steps, and walking back up, anybody with the intention here for the people to see him in order for them to learn. So this is movement that's occurring in the prayer, that's not from the prayer. This is movement that's occurring in the prayer that is not from the prayer, but this is allowed and does not harm the prayer because it's in the benefit of the prayer. We have taken this issue previously. We have seen other narrations like that, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he carried Umama radiallahu anha, and he would raise her and lower her and the likes like this. And this is also allowed, yani in a time of necessity. It's from the benefit of the prayer. This is something that is allowed, and it will not invalidate the salat. Likewise, from the benefit of this narration is that it's allowed for the ma'moom to look at the imam. It's allowed for the ma'moom to look at the imam. Yani especially if he is an imam who is known to be upon the sunnah and to follow that, and to have knowledge and to apply the knowledge. If he's from those leading the prayer, and he's from those who are known to have knowledge of the deen and knowledge of al-Islam properly, and he's also known to be from those who apply their knowledge, then to look at him and to watch how he prays is a benefit. And al-Medina, I remember we used to watch the mashaykh that we would study with. We couldn't wait to see how they prayed. Where they put their hands after the ruku' and the likes like this. And some of them they would put them, and others in, and we would put them down. And we would learn the madahib of the mashaykh many times from watching them and looking at them, specifically in the prayer. So this is allowed, and in order to learn, to look at the imam while praying is allowed in order to learn or to benefit or know where he's at in the likes. So therefore it's allowed to look at the imam during the prayer, and in order to learn from him and to benefit from him in the manner that he's praying. One time it's very beneficial to look at the imam is whenever one is coming late. If someone is coming late to the prayer and the imam is in ruku', And the Imam is in Rukur. It's very beneficial at this time that when he makes takbir, and he will watch the Imam as he's going down. He will watch the Imam as he's going down, because so long as he caught the Imam before he raises, then he caught the rak'ah. But many times somebody who will be hastening, and he will come and make takbir, and he goes down, but in reality the Imam, he's already going up. Maybe he's judging on what he heard, or he thinks that he heard the Imam made takbir and the lights like this, and he caught it before that. But what is proper now is to pay attention, to make sure that when he caught the rak'ah. So if he came and the Imam was in ruku', then he would enter the prayer, but he, as he's going down, he's going to watch the Imam, and in order to make sure he makes the ruku' before the Imam raises. So if he caught it, alhamdulillah. If he did not catch it, I mean, if he's going down and the Imam is coming up at the same time, he didn't catch it. He has to come down into ruku' while the Imam is in ruku' before he starts raising. Before he starts, if he does that, alhamdulillah, he caught the rak'ah. He caught this rak'ah. As for if he's going down and the Imam is going up at the same time, the one is going down, the other one's going up, or he's almost down and the Imam is going up, he didn't make it. He has to make the ruku'. The ma'mum, the masbuk, he has to make the ruku'. So, and he, from the times to look at the Imam is this, at this time, in order to make sure that one's prayer is good. If he caught it, alhamdulillah. If he didn't catch it, he'll make it up. He'll make it up. This is a pillar from the pillars of al-Islam. So he will not have to tahawun with the prayer, and erasing and hastening and the likes like this. Also, from the benefits of this narration, the people of knowledge mentioned that if a person, he does something that is considered to be strange, or the reason is unknown to the people, or could be considered to be something or that is different from what is normal, that one, he will clarify that. That one will clarify that, especially if he is an imam or a leader or a teacher or the likes like this, and he did something that is contrary to what is normal, or maybe that could possibly be misunderstood and the likes, or the reason will be unclear, that he will clarify that. And this is as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned after he did this, and he rising up and down the minbar during the prayer, he said, "Ayyuha an-nas, innama sana'tu hadha litatamu bi wa lita'lamu salati." He said, "Oh people, I only did that in order for you to follow me and to learn my prayer. And to learn my prayer." So he mentioned to them the reason why he did that. And this is also from the beautiful teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his great care and concern for conveying the legislation, particularly the salat. So here he is, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the middle of the prayer, standing on the minbar, praying a great portion of the prayer on the minbar, and then backing down to make sujood on the ground, and in order for the people to see him. So not only did he teach the people, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayer, yani with his speech, and clarify to them how to pray it, also he taught them with his action, and he indicating the great diligence that he had, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to convey the message of his Lord, and to convey the rights of al-Islam, and to clarify the legislation of the deen, specifically with regards to the salah, and that which is obligatory. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Wasallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli," and pray as you have seen me pray. And then he told us how to pray, and he mentioned that you do it like this, and you do it like that, and you recite the Fatiha here, and then after that you make ruku'. And he mentioned narrations, a number of them, explaining in detail, and it was speech. With speech, teaching how to pray, and verbally, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also teaching how to pray, teaching how to pray physically, by display, by action. Watch my prayer. I did that so you can watch my prayer, so you can see my prayer, so you can see how I pray, in order to pray like him, because this is from the greatest rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and from the greatest means to have the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is to establish the prayer. And the prayer is not proper and correct until it's established according to the way that Allah likes, that which He has legislated, that which is pleasing to Allah. That's why He sent Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to inform us that the prayer is obligatory and to teach us how to do it properly. How many believers, they have no concern for their prayer, and they stand and throw their hands anyway. Somebody who just raises hands like this and barely raises hands. Somebody who never raises hands. And this is the people of knowledge, they really find fault with the one. And the Prophet used to raise his hands to their parallel to his ears or his shoulder. Some people they just raise their hands like they're flapping their hands and the likes. This is not showing concern for the prayer. This is not showing concern for the prayer. And if raising the hands in the prayer in the proper place is from the beauty of the prayer, and from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who the prayer was revealed to him while he was above the heavens. Salawatullahi wa salamu wa barakatuh alayhi. How to make ruku', how to make sujood. He clarified all of that in detail. sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If this was any his way, then should not we be diligent to learn that which he clarified, to learn that properly, and to make sure that our prayer is good, and to ask ourselves, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam pray how I'm praying, or am I praying really how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed? And there's a general basic manner that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed outwardly. A believer should try to learn that. He should have time to learn that. He should have effort to learn that. He should have care and concern to learn that. He will hope that his prayer is accepted. He will hope that he will worship Allah upon clarity, upon insight. Again, this is the benefit from sitting in the gatherings of knowledge, to learn how to worship Allah properly. From the benefits of this narration, likewise, is that we see that to pray or to do an act of worship in order for the people to learn from you. And it doesn't affect the worship, and it doesn't affect the class. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is praying, performing one of the greatest actions of worship, the salah. But he's doing it. Why did he say he's doing it? لِتَتَّمُّ بِهِ وَلِتَعْلَمُ السَّلَاتِ. In order for you to follow me, in order for you to learn my prayer. So no doubt the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's praying for the sake of Allah. He's praying to Allah and for the sake of Allah. But he's also wanting the people to learn from him. So therefore this intention here does not corrupt the deed. And this intention here does not corrupt ikhlas and sincerity and purity of intention. So this is a good intention. If a person, he has family members, children, for example, or a wife, or the wife has a husband like this, to sometimes do the good deeds in front of them. So they see it, so they follow. So they see it, so they follow. And this is also from the benefits and the wisdom of praying the sunnah prayer in the house. And we have seen the narrations about this affair, that one, he should save something from the sunnah prayer to pray it in the house. And that the house should not be like graveyards, any meaning where there's no prayer established. So from the benefit of that is that the people and the house, the wife and the children, they learn that salat is not only in the masjid. And this is, and they learn and they see how to pray. And they know that their prayer is established in the home and in the masjid. And it's not something that's just in the masjid, and then when you get home there's no more prayer. Rather, there's prayer in the home and there's prayer in the masjid. And it's something that's established in the life entirely. And then likewise, they will see that and they will follow that. And they will know that whenever you come home, you're supposed to pray. Whenever you, or before you leave out, you're supposed to pray. Or in the middle of the night, before you go to bed, you're supposed to pray. Or if you get up in the middle of the night, you're supposed to pray. In the morning time, there's a prayer. In the morning times, there's a prayer. Many times if somebody, for example, he established a duha, sometime whenever he's home, in his house, maybe his child will come to him. What prayer was you praying, Abby? Yeah, Abby, what prayer was that? And that's a great opportunity. This is da'wah. Oh, this is salatul duha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he praised those who made the duha. And he mentioned that this is the prayer of those who are devout and those who are repentant. And the likes like this. And this is the time for that prayer. And it can be prayed in this manner. So to have the intention like this, to worship Allah alone, to be sincere, and then to teach others, this is a beautiful manner. And this is a good way. And this is clarified likewise. In this narration, the author, he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala. After this, the author, he says, "An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu annahu qala kana an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqra'u fi salati al-fajr yawm al-jumu'ah alif lam mim tanzil as-sajda wa hal ata 'ala al-insan." The author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yaqra'u, that he used to recite, meaning that this is something that he performed constantly or almost all of the time. We have seen the benefit of that. Kana yaqra'u. We have kana here, and the khabar kana is jumla fi'liya, fi'luha mudari' tufidu al-istimrar ghaliban. Kana an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqra'u fi salati al-fajr yawm al-jumu'ah, that the Prophet, he used to recite in the fajr prayer on the day of jumu'ah, alif lam mim tanzil as-sajda, in his surah as-sajda. And also had ata ala al insan, and he surat al insan. He would combine between these two surah and the salat al fajr on the day of Jumu'ah, the chapter as sajda and the first rak'ah, and the chapter of al insan and the second rak'ah. He would recite them entirely in this manner, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is something that he performed consistently and very often. And the wisdom behind that, and Allah knows best, is because in these chapters is the mention of the beginning of al-insan, and where the human being comes from and where he's going. And if one ponders over these two chapters in detail, he will find those great principles that we have discussed in many classes. and that are the keys and the means and the foundations of success in this life and the hereafter. And that is for one to know who his Lord is. That is for one to know who his Creator is, the one who is providing him. That one, he must know Allah Azza wa Jal, and also he must know his own soul. And also he must know his own soul. These two chapters, they mention this in detail. They mention this in detail. Who is the Lord? Who is the Rabb Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? And likewise, who is the insan? Where did he come from? And the beginning of the human being is mentioned, and likewise the end of the human being is mentioned, and the meeting of Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioned. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.